Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough with me, Dr. Beverly L. Swanson. Now, this is a live radio broadcast designed to inspire, encourage, and empower you forward into your breakthrough. Now join me weekly, along with my distinguished guests, that will share wisdom and stories of great faith. And now, here we go. Let's get started with inspiration, empowerment, and breakthrough. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome again to Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough. And I'm Dr. Beverly. I am your host for the radio show. It's wonderful to have you on this evening. So glad that you came back again with us this week. As you know, the very first show of the new broadcast launched just last week, last Tuesday, with a very inspiring and eye-opening topic of what Christian single men are looking for in a wife and a woman today. We had three panelists that boldly and courageously answered the questions of many, many ladies that sent their questions in, and it was a remarkable show. We were so glad to have our panelists, and surprising enough, one of those panelists are back here this evening. So, what is this show about, Dr. Beverly? Well, this is a show that is designed to share experiences of men and women that have a story to tell, a story that started with challenges that they've overcome by great faith, leading to overwhelming victory. You see, I want their stories to inspire you to continue to press in and empower you to press forward until you reach your breakthrough. So the broadcast will always end, just like coffee, wisdom, and prayer. We'll always end in prayer to seal your aspirations with words of power. So that's what this broadcast is about. It will air weekly every Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. with guests, and it will re-air on Fridays evenings at the same time at 7 p.m. Now, I guess you're wondering, what is it that we're going to be talking about this evening? Well, we are going to be talking about how I had two guests on. We see but one right now, so I may have to work him. He's going to talk about and share his story on how, even though widowed, how the love that they had, the love that he had for his wife, fueled his success. Everything that she imparted into him of wisdom and kindness and fearless love, support, which is what we're supposed to do as a helpmeet, he kept with him. He kept in his heart. And that is exactly what he needed to propel him forward into the successful man that he is today with great aspirations. And his name, again, you may remember him from last week. His name is Vincent Kenneth Lackey. And we're going to check to see if he is in the studio. Vincent, are you with us? Are you there?
I'm alive and well, Dr. Beverly. I'm right here with you.
Well, I cannot tell you how happy I am to hear your voice. It's good to have you back. You really were quite a marvelous wealth of wisdom and experiences that you shared with the ladies this week, last week, and sharing the intimate parts of your feelings, and I really do appreciate that because women today have a desire to know what they're up against and what men are looking for. But now, bringing you back this time, I want our audience to have an opportunity to really understand the power of faith and the power of pure love, of true love. And we talked about that during our interview, that pure love never fails and it never ends. But not everyone that is on the broadcast tonight has heard your bio. So I'm going to take a moment while you rest while you can and okay. I'm going to share exactly who you are. So this is, ladies and gentlemen, Minister Ken Lackey. Now, Minister Ken Lackey has ministered across the country and abroad. He's been privileged to minister in places like Germany and Sweden, Copenhagen and Tahiti, that's not all, Bermuda, and even the Middle East. Now, in addition, he was the road manager for Edwin Hawkins for 9 years, and he has ministered with Pastor James Grant for the past 3 years, and presently has established a ministry in Winslow, Arizona. Now, Minister Lackey has been involved in ministry since 1987, he tells me, bringing unity to the body of Christ. Now, there are other endeavors, and they include he's an author, and he's written 18 books, 3 plays, and even a movie trilogy on the second, as well as a reality show that's titled The Two Preachers. So presently, he's promoting his latest book titled The Perfect Marriage through speaking engagements, radio programs, and marriage workshops. And we're going to let you know just how you can book Mr. Lackey at the end and how you can contact him. But in the meantime, now you have an earful of just who our guest is tonight. So, Ken, will you please tell us a little bit about your story? Tell us about your marriage, how long you were married, how long you were married. Will you share with us now?
Absolutely, Dr. Beverly. Again, thank you for this wonderful show and the opportunity to share the love of my life. And more importantly, be able to, at the same time when you give a testimony and you share your life, you're actually being a blessing to those that are listening, because the only way we can have these things achieved in our life or accomplished is because of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I always want to emphasize and talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the whole purpose of my being. But I would like to share with you that I guess it happened in 1987. This wonderful, blessed experience happened in 87, where I was living in Oakland, California, and a friend of mine, Michael Bray, who now owns Hitman Records, and he was just a student living in one of my buildings at the time, and he asked me, he said, will you come up? I have a leaky sink. He wanted me to come up and see if the sink was actually leaking, but when I came up to the apartment, there was about 8 people in the unit, and I only had seen one person, and that was my wife-to-be, Kimberly. Didn't even know her name, wasn't introduced to her. I just walked over to her and asked her to marry me. And so I knew it sounded a little crazy, and so she was laughing, and so was everyone else. So I figured the only way I'm going to get her to go to dinner with me is to invite everybody. So I invited everybody to dinner. It cost me a little bit, but, you know, we had a wonderful, magical evening of sharing and good food and music. And 30 days after that celebration, we were married. And
okay, now wait a minute. I have to stop here. All right.
Okay.
So, are you telling me that really does happen? Love at first sight, where you actually knew that was your wife? Because you know, we're told as women, even I've heard my pastor say this, Vincent. I've heard my pastor say, when a man sees a woman, he will know that is his wife. And once he gets that, there is nothing that can stop him. So you're telling me that that is true? Because we all looked at him like he had four heads when he said that.
Absolutely, Dr. Beverly. I have to be totally honest, because being a man that wasn't always in the Lord and wasn't always enlightened and had the consciousness of Christ, and our dating time and periods and back in the day, when you saw a woman that you were interested in dating, you would, the difference was, yeah, you like this person, you want to, spend some time with them. That was the difference. It was a different mindset. I really believe that if we had those type of pastors and type of fathers in the home that can train the man to, have this mindset of looking for a wife instead of looking for someone just to lay down with, we would have a different mindset, so it would happen more often. So because in the early days in my dating when I was a young man, there was, times you would see somebody you like to get to know, but it was all about, the mindset was different. We were dealing with the lower chakra. We didn't have the mindset of marriage. But at this time of being 31 years old, I knew I was tired of being celibate and I wanted a wife. So my mind was ready. My mindset was on target. And, yes, absolutely, it does happen.
So how long were you and your wife married? And I believe you said her name was Kim, right?
Yeah, Kimberly. Her close friend called her Kimmy. But
how long were you and Kimberly married?
Yeah, we were married. I seen a movie. Before I answer that, I seen a movie. I think it was called Love Story. I can't remember the name of the movie, but it was with Warren Beatty and his wife Annette Beatty, and they were at a scene in Tahiti. And they were looking at a picture of Warren Beatty's auntie at the time, and they asked a question to the auntie, and she was about 87 years old. And she says, they looked at the picture, and they said, "Oh, is this your husband?" He says, "Yes." And how long did he pass? 10 years ago. He says, "Oh, so you guys were married for?" She said, "Honey, we're still married." Well, I take that to say to you, I haven't found a wife yet, and I haven't found anybody that I'm dating or interested in marrying. So, even though she's been gone 7 years, we've been married 20 when she was here on Earth, we're still married in the contents because, I don't have anyone right now. So that's the last person that was in my consciousness, in my thoughts, and so I still think about her all the time.
That is beautiful. Can you tell us how Kimberly inspired you through the marriage?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. When we got married, I was inspired to marry her by the scripture that I found in the Word of God. And I heard a lot of people using the scripture, "I bind this and I bind that." But I only heard people using that scripture and binding up the devil. But I took that scripture and I bind our marriage and I bind us together as one in Christ. He says, "Whatsoever you bind on earth is bind in heaven." I thought that was a powerful scripture to use. And so I did that scripture to marry us. And we were just, man, I tell you, I had to write a book about it because, everything just came so natural, from the time that we decided to build our house or buy a house, we were deciding which choice to make, deciding to where to live and what would be the best place, and just because we wanted the best energy. We wanted, decided not to do credit because we wanted to be debt-free. And all these things played into us being happy and not having tension and conflict because you got so much debt going on, you can't even love one another. So we made sure that we weren't going to go down that road. And so all these steps were sort of planned in place, and we just had just a wonderful time at it and enjoying one another. But I believe that in 87, we were married, and 2007, February the 9th at 9:15 p.m. is when Kimberly departed. But when before all that, I mean, we just had this wonderful niche. When I met her, I knew that she wanted to be a dancer. Matter of fact, she was getting ready to dance that week for Tupac's video, and he was going to pay $250 or something like that. And so I didn't want her to be in a bathing suit dancing for on Tupac's video. And so I said, well, how much are you paying? And so she told me, and I said, well, here's $300. Just dance for me. And so she didn't do the video, which I was very happy about. And so it was just, you know, we danced together. Her love was dance, and her second love was writing. So, you know, we danced together. We did flamingo dancing for family and friends who came to our dinner parties. And whenever we could dance together, we would. And so the love affair began in our meeting and finding out that we had so many things in common. I remember the day that I prayed with her and I touched her. The Holy Spirit revealed everything, her past and things she went through. And so I began to tell it to her, and she just cried and cried for at least an hour. But we knew then that it was not tied in heaven with our love affair. We knew that it was meant to be. So we embarked on this journey of loving one another and writing our books together. And we wrote a lot of other books, but the first one that I had published is the one that she wrote as she was after we were fighting cancer. And so she was writing some beautiful things and as she was leaving here. But we had wrote so many beautiful books when everything was just going perfect, when we were building our house together and making the furniture, and everything was just, it was on top of the world. So, and we knew how to.
So let me see here, Vincent. You met her and you told her the first time you saw her that you wanted to marry her, and you did so 1 month later.
Yes.
You paid her not to take a dancing gig more than what she would have made at the dancing gig.
Absolutely.
You sealed your marriage by binding her using the word of God. You bound your marriage so that it would be forever.
Yes.
And you had a marriage that you still talk about today, a union and a unity that not only can you still talk about with love in your heart, because we can all hear it now, but even after Kimberly has gone home to be with Jesus, the writings that you did together, the things that you did together of value, you still continued with that, which is honoring her life and honoring God who gave you that special wife, that good thing, that union that empowered your life and your heart so much. I wanted to ask you, I'm just amazed on the power of love, you know, when pure love meets love. There is nothing that can stop it. There is nothing that can shake it. And I got to ask you, for marrying so quickly, if I can become personal, did you have arguments at all? Did you have any disagreements? Were there any dishes that flew? I mean, was it all union and flowers and roses and...
I'm so glad you asked that question, Dr. Beverly, because you constantly tell people that we had no arguments, and that's why I wrote the book called The Perfect Marriage. See, The Perfect Marriage also identifies with the coming of Christ and him being the perfect bride, bridegroom, and coming for his bride. So it all relates to there, but when the Holy Spirit started revealing to me that we're perfect in Christ and that we can have what we say and mind that being Christ also being us. And when I found out who Kimberly was through studying the Word, and I found out that she's the image of the Holy Spirit and I'm the image of Christ, well, what happens is that you begin to honor that person that is in front of you, because let me tell you something. This is a little secret that all married couples should know, that the way that you love your spouse is a reflection of how you love God. And so, you know, if that's the case, if we really take heed of that and we really take heed to how sacred a marriage is, and that is the greatest relationship known to mankind, that a saved wife can save an unsaved husband and vice versa, if we know how powerful that is and we begin to respond and respect and honor who we are to one another, my God, man, we wouldn't have no 55% divorce rate, I'm telling you. So what happened in my marriage and what happened with the love affair is that I began to look at this woman as though I was her and that she was me. And so, you know, she called me every day Precious. That was my nickname. That was my the name she gave me at home. You know, she didn't call me that on the construction sites when I'm building things, but she would call me Precious all the time, and I would call her Precious. But it was just a wonderful, wonderful. You know, what happens, Dr. Belvin, is that love begets love. And so the more that you love her, the more that you give, the more it comes back. So you just hope and pray that everybody's doing it, because I'm saying, my God, I'm so happy. I'm so blessed. I'm so pleased. And like I said, it's really a reflection of how you love God, because, you know, we can't see God. And so God creates these wonderful binding relationships of marriage for us to respond on to love him. And it's just really a shame that we haven't understood who we are, that we can really love one another on that level. And so I thank God that we were able to.
And you know, you're absolutely right. That is a principle. When you give love, you get love. And it's something very important for couples to understand. If a man truly wants to, men are to women are receivers. That's naturally, as a matter of fact, we're built that way. So if a man loves his wife, if he loves his wife, just like Christ loves the church, and loves his wife that deeply, it is, then she will return that love multiplied. That is the principle. And if you can work on that before going into the marriage and work on that through the marriage, even during difficult times, they don't stay difficult times, because it's silly. You know you're going to wind up together anyway. You know you're going to talk it through. So it's silly. You might as well do it now or take a break for 15, 30 minutes and talk it through, because ultimately you're still going to end up together. So it is a principle, and it sounds like that you and Kimberly really lived your lives according to that principle.
Absolutely, Dr. Beverly. And, you know, a lot of times people say, when you use that word perfect, the perfect marriage, nothing's perfect, nobody's perfect. They're quick to say that. But I got too much scripture, too much Word of God, too much Holy Spirit to tell me that it's not, and we can't have it. So, first of all, I don't believe that I have to be married to you and to and have arguments. I just don't believe that. I believe that if I experience it, I wouldn't talk about it if I didn't be able to express it and expound on it if I didn't experience it. But we had this wonderful man. It was just so perfect. It was just so beautiful. And so because, see, what happens is that when you come into the agreement, you have to set rules and guidelines. The universe has rules and guidelines. We have laws, universal laws. So when you set some rules and you say, well, listen, we're going to come into this marriage, and, you know, what do you want out of this marriage? What do you want to see happen? How do you want to live? And so I would like to see us enjoying one another every day. You know, I don't want any arguments. I want us to be blessed. You know, the scripture says when you find a wife, you find a good thing. And the favor of God. Now, the favor of God is an awesome gift he gives us. That's a wedding gift, my God. So that tells me that God's going to bless me financially. Everything that I put my hands on, he's going to bless. And that is exactly what happened, Dr. Beverly. I mean, all the businesses, everything I applied to and for my marriage. I used to, even when I didn't have money, you know, I was blessed to have money quite a bit, but when I didn't, I would buy these little boxes because every day I brought a gift home to Kimberly. And so I didn't wait for anniversaries. We never celebrated an anniversary, never in 20 years, never celebrated Valentine's Day, not one day. Not the day passed by, we didn't even know it was around, Valentine's Day. What is that? Because every day was a blessing. Every day was Valentine's. Every day was anniversary because we stayed in the now. And in the now is where all the love is. It's where Christ is. It's where the Holy Spirit is. And so that's why it blossoms so well. And you know what happens, too, Dr. Belton, is that a woman is a rose. And what happens with a rose, if it's in a negative environment or a negative relationship, it won't blossom. So you have a lot of women in relationships and marriages that are have bud, they're have blossom. And so what happened in my marriage is that I wanted that rose to blossom fully. And so I applied myself to treating that rose, giving all the soil that rose needed to blossom, all the love. And I'm here to tell you, you don't have to argue, you don't have to fight. There's, you know, I lived it. I put it in a book, a 1,200-page book, 40 chapters for you, so you can have the perfect marriage, too. You don't have to argue and fight. It's just that you got to have a willing partner that, you know, loves the Lord and willing to fall in love with Christ first. That's the key.
And you know what? I want to talk to you about that book to see, that give you an opportunity to share just how your marriage really inspired that book. But before we do that, I see a couple of people on the line, and I want to check to see if any of them have a question. I am going to unmute the number ending in 4779. 4779. And if you have a question, just simply say, yes, Dr. Bev. So the number ending in 4779, do you have a question for our guest, Vincent Lackey? Okay, and your name, your first name?
My name is Mercer.
Hello, Mercer. Welcome to Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough. Thank you for being on the air with us. And what question have you for Vincent? Vincent, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay,
yes.
Mercer, then do ask your question.
In your relationship with your wife, were you ever tempted with any other person, even when that person wanted to have a relationship with you? In other words, they came after you wanting a relationship with you. What was the feeling that you had, even though you were married?
Good question. I had a situation that occurred, and because Kim and I were absolutely one, we spoke everything. I spoke her words, her sentences, and you know, we were just really close, and we just expressed everything to one another, and every story, every thought. And so when that situation did occur, and when I was traveling with Edwin Hawkins, I felt it was almost like I would be betraying God, because the love affair, the marriage was so tied into the reflection of my love for Kimberly was tied into my love for God. And so anything coming in between it, it not only affecting Kimberly, but it was affecting my relationship with God. So it was sort of combined and coexisting. So it was just the worst feeling you can ever imagine. You didn't want to go any further, you know. If somebody had approached you and they liked you, whatever, you definitely were going to shut the door because there was no need. There was no need for it.
The reason that I asked the question is because in listening, you were talking about a divorce rate that is being 50% or more now. And when I look out and I see that the temptation is there, these people are in these marriages, and all of a sudden, another partner comes along and says, hey, I think I can do better than what you got. So why don't you come over and play with me for a while? And that ends up in a divorce, and you end up in several different marriages. And that's why I asked the question, is how do we as men, because there is that factor which is ego or macho or whatever you want to call it, and that is the part that busts up these marriages and causes a lot of this divorce rate. That's why I ask you the question, really, as a man or on the lady side, how do you handle this to make sure that you have an absolute 100% guaranteed understanding that no matter what, as you said, you are bonded forever?
Absolutely.
May I interject, gentlemen? I'm excited, actually, Marissa, that this question has come across, because just recently in a conference, my pastor, who happens to be Pastor Philip G. Godot at Calvary Christian Center in Sacramento, he addressed that. He said that men are visual. Men are visual, and they're moved by what they see. And even though he is a man of God, a pastor, he said, I'm not blind. I can still see beautiful women in front of me. And he said, but the thing is, I choose. And he said, I have to work on it all the time because we're visual. I choose not to betray my wife. He said, now if I see something on another woman that is attractive, or a certain dress that she's wearing or hosiery that he says appeals to him, he says he runs out to the store as fast as he can to try to buy that for his wife so that he can still enjoy them. But he's enjoying them on the woman that he should be enjoying them on. So he said, you know, it's time for men to stop acting like they don't see. They do see. They're visual. Mm-hmm. Men are visual, and they're hunters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that they don't see, and it's not that you can't acknowledge beauty. He said, but there's a constant, as men, he said, they have to constantly work on not betraying the gift that God gave them.
You know, I've been studying in what I call the sustainability of civilizations. I mean, this is our entire civilization. And what I came to the conclusion was, is that if I, as the person that I am, as a male, do not stop acting like an animal, and I do not supersede nature, then the civilization and the community and the church of which I'm a part of will collapse. I have to stop acting like an animal.
Mm-hmm. Which is a whole nother sermon and a whole nother radio broadcast in itself. But I am going to have to keep our guests here on track. Mercer, I want to personally thank you for asking your question. I hope you remain on the line for the rest of the broadcast. Will you do that?
Yes, I will.
Okay. All righty. Then I'll put you on hold, and we'll take one more question. Thank you again, Mercer.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mercer.
Okay. This is Dr. Beverly, and I've just released a line ending in 9938. If you have a question for Vincent, can you please just say, yes, Dr. Bev, I have a question.
No, I don't.
Okay, then thank you. We'll just get back to the broadcast. And Vincent, I wanted to ask you, is there a specific occurrence in your marriage that inspired you to write that book? And the book that we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is The Perfect Marriage. And I'll ask Vincent to explain what that book is about in just a moment. But I want to know, is there anything specific that Kimberly said or did that inspired you to write that book?
Yeah, I was. We were talking and we were doing all these things like pillow talk, and sometimes we would do baby talk, and all these different things that we did together, and The weekends would be shut-in days, and then we would have pampering days where I would write up a menu, and she would want her hair washed with egg and mayonnaise, and then she would want this bath. I would give it with milk and sesame seed oil and cranberries and all this kind of stuff. So I was looking at all the different things that we did, and I started putting it together, and because there's one thing for me to express my love for Kimberly, and she's not here, but it's another thing for me to be able to read her writings that she wrote about me and about our love affair, and I wanted to be able to share those in the book, and maybe I can read one or two of the excerpts from the book that she shared like 30 days before she passed. I mean, she was writing, laying in the bed, and she wrote just beautiful words about just how she felt about me, and so that's what inspired me to write the book, because I was talking about my leaving here, and I talked about my departing. I said to her about my will, if I left before her, I would like to have my body cremated that day, and my friends like Edwin Hawkins and Ricardo Scales and all the people I knew that would call and check on me for different events, just say I'm not here. And she would say, why? Why would you not want a funeral? Why would you tell people I'm not here? And so I would say to her that, love me today. Bring me flowers today. Don't be at a funeral and then start telling all the people what a wonderful guy I was and what have you. Tell me why I'm still here. And I remember her words to me. She says, well, I want a service, and I want the world to know that I was loved by you. And I never forgot those words.
That is so powerful. It is indeed special. I really like when you continue to say my love affair. You know, your marriage, you look at your marriage as a love affair. And I think that is priceless. And again, everyone, this is a show about how, though Vincent was widowed, how their love fueled his success. He used their marriage and their experiences as a couple, as a union and a unity, even though their loss was great. And he talked about that last week when he was one of my panelists, how, as she went home to the Lord, it left a hole in his heart. But he turned that around and honored her. And with that, Vincent, would you please tell us about the book, The Perfect Marriage, that you wrote, after Kimberly's passing, and what that book is about?
Yes. What came through a combination of things. Can I read a little something that she wrote?
Absolutely. Please share.
Yeah. She wrote in the book before I started writing The Perfect Marriage. She wrote, matter of fact, we had finished a book called The Most Loved, The Most Hated, The Most Misunderstood, a love story between a man and God. And so, based on the second coming of Christ. So that book, we were told, I got up one morning for prayer at 3 a.m. for prayer, and the Holy Spirit said, I want you to write all the times that I was there for you and that you were in crisis or situations, and I blessed you. I want you to write it all down. And I said, Lord, I was talking to the Holy Spirit. I said, I will, after I pray. And the Lord said, no, I want you to do it now. Go in the other room, and I want you to write. So I began to write, and I couldn't write fast enough. Everything was flowing. All the stories were just coming out of me so fast, so I put it on the recorder. And so about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, I went to Kim, and she was getting up, and I let her hear, and she said, wow, that's beautiful. I want to call it Whispers in the Wind. So 30 days before she passed, she wrote this. I'll read it to you. It's called Whispers in the Wind. Shh, can you hear it? It's everywhere. You can hear it in the rustling of the trees and see its true color in the burnt autumn leaves. You can catch a glimpse as the butterfly passes by, or you can taste it in your mouth if you catch a snowflake falling from the sky. You can hear it in the waves as they meet the shore. You can feel it as the passing hummingbird leaves you yearning for more and more. It's in the gentle hello and the warmth of a colored yellow. You can see it in lavender streets that the sunset has painted across the sky. It's also in sweet memories of times gone by. You can feel it in a gentle embrace and see it in a mother's face. It's in a flower's first bloom and a quiet, dark warmth of a yet-to-be-born's cocoon. You can feel it in times of joy and see it upon the face of a small child playing with his toy. You will hear it in times of suffering and pain, and if you're really in tune, you can hear it in the gentle tears of the rain. Take the time, train your eyes and ears, for it can be heard in places never imagined if you truly want to hear. I found it in the midst of a busy workday myself, while others have felt it in the undeserved favor of life itself. It's not difficult to find. It's in an open window as well as a closed door. It can be found in the midst of chaos, conflict, even war. It's in sweet, soft music as well as a silent prayer. It's whispers in the wind. It's everywhere. God is speaking. God is speaking. And that's what she wrote about a month and a half before she passed. And she was able to paint, and she was inspired to do things that she had done before in drawing and painting. So, and we even made a CD of 12 different songs. But it inspired me. It was like I became a Picasso of love and romance, and it inspired me to write this book. And I started writing some things before that, and then as I went to Winslow, Arizona, with my dear friend who's a missionary, to bring her mother back to California, her mother took ill, and I found myself in the desert in Winslow, Arizona, helping her take care of her mother who crossed over a few months ago. And while I was there, taking care of her mother in the daytime, I would write in this little hotel. I think it's the last train hotel in the country. It was built in 1920, so I would go there every night, and I would type and work on my book, and I finished it. And I wrote about just the different chapters in the book. I mean, like chapter 40 is called The Intent of the Heart. It talks about the intent of your heart and everything that you do pertaining your heart for this person. Chapter 39 is mindsets and changing the mindsets that we're conditioned to see, the various marriages that we're conditioned to see. Oh, yeah, we're going to argue. We're going to have arguments. You're going to have fights. You know, psychiatrists say you are. People say you are. But I say you don't have to. I'm operating on a different level. I say you don't have to argue. You don't have to fight. I say you can have the perfect marriage. And so chapter 1 is 100 pages alone, and it's titled 300 Questions in 30 Days to Know Your Beloved. So I think it's a rich book, and I think it's going to change mindsets and change people how they perceive marriage. Some people get into marriage for financial reasons or sexual reasons or to produce families. But do they get into marriage because of true love? Because this person... I wrote the book because Kimberly, actually, even when the doctor, I was there when he said you had 4-stage cancer, she said the tears are not for her. The tears are for Kent. Because she became me and I became her. I can't explain it, but it was just an awesome thing. And I think that's what people, if you want to experience true love, you have to be, first of all, fall in love with Christ, and second of all, you have to see that beloved, that soulmate, that person of your life to become, you have to become them and treat them like they would treat themselves. You have to have that mindset. You know, you have to come out of yourself. That's what true love's all about. We have that Christ-like love for one another. It's not a conditioned love. I'm not conditioned to love you, but what happens when breast cancer comes and you have no more breasts? What happens when your body is rigid, ridden with pain, and I can't touch you and make love to you, but all I can do is hold you and pray with you. Are you still going to be there? See, that's the difference.
Okay, this is Dr. Bev. For a moment, we experienced some technical difficulties, which is why the commercial music started to play, but we are back on the air. I can see everyone is still in the studio. So, Vincent.
Yes.
Are you there? So, can you continue to share?
Yes, absolutely. As I was saying that, with Kimberly, everything was beautiful, and you're looking at of course, building your house and working together to do that and operating your business and everything's working in that and you're writing your books together. So everything seems just perfect, right? But what happens when you get conflict and situations where you have to take care of a brother who is now hit by a car and he can't think for himself and you have to take care of his brother? I took care of a brother. I raised a niece. It didn't affect my marriage, no arguments, no tension, because it was based off of this love affair that we have with Christ. I mean, a real love affair, not just in word and tongue, but indeed in action. And so what happens in that is that, it was tested. You know, you don't have faith until it's tested. So our love affair was tested, and everything that started the way that it started is the way that it ended. You know, when cancer came, we were on a 12-day cruise, and we found a little lump on our breast. And when we went into the doctor's office together, the doctor said that you are in the fight of your life. And so Kimberly's tears, as she wrote the book, Kimberly's tears said the tears were not for her. They were for me. And so that's the part I was sharing with you, is that she became me, and I became her. The reason I treated her so well and loved her as Jesus loved the church is because I took on her feelings to become her. She would not talk bad to herself. She would not hit her. She would not put herself down. She would not. She would buy the best gifts for her. So I became her, and I did all these things for her because I knew she was doing for herself. So, and vice versa. So that's the love affair. That's what brings the foundation of true love, because what happens when cancer comes and you have no breasts, what happens when the hair is gone? You know, there's got to be something deep there. There's got to be something
exactly.
That's trippy. Yeah, yeah. I never left her sight. I never took my eyes off of her, even
exactly.
When cancer was there.
And you know,
yeah.
It's what I talk about when I'm in speaking engagement. It really, truly, and working the word, walking in the word, and living in the word.
Yes.
And
yes.
When you unify, when you come together and both of you are in one accord, you can have a marriage with more ups than downs. And it's not difficult to think of the other person more than yourself. It's not difficult at all. It's more natural to do so.
It is more natural. That's the
Natural. And, you know, I wanted you to share with the audience, in your book, are you recommending to people, Vincent, that they purchase the book before they marry or after they marry? What are your recommendations? Because it sounds like within the book you offer ideas, tools to assist, to help in marriage.
Absolutely, Dr. Beverly. I recommend, matter of fact, a guarantee on the book. And the reason I put that guarantee on the book, that in 30 days, I don't care if you're married, and you're married to Charles Manson. I mean that.
Oh, my gosh.
Some people think they are married to Charles Manson, Dr. Beverly. So, but I really believe, the book, if you follow the teachings and what God has given me and the experiences, that the book will bless an existing marriage and a marriage to be. So I recommend you get the book. I mean, it's. I was showing it to a friend of mine the other day that is having, some issues with his wife, and so he was telling me that he sent in flowers and candy, and flowers and candy is great, but after you've been messed up, the flowers and candy really are for you to make you feel good that you're trying to do something mm-hmm. so you can tell me that I'm making an effort. Look, I'm sending flowers and candy every day. Well, guess what? She's not really interested at this point in time in flowers and candy. She's interested in the trust value and the love value that has been missing. And so because it hasn't been there and everybody's conditioned to put the pilot light on and operate on survival mode, in their relationship, and you do this day in and day out, guess what happens? You know, it's so easy. I mean, I was telling a pastor one day some of the things in my book, and he was writing it down like it was going crazy because tied up in they're conditioned in these relationships because of where they learn from. How many people have seen a perfect marriage or true love marriage? I mean, they're watching marriages that happen in the movies, on television, and then they see maybe one or two marriages that are still surviving, and then the rest of them are failing. But nonetheless, they're getting a whole bunch of psychobabble of how to attain a relationship. When I tell you about Chapter 7, Baby Talk, you say, well, what does baby talk have to do with making my marriage solid? Well, let me tell you something. It's profound because what it does, it releases inhibitions. It allows you to be free and open. It's just a wonderful thing, a wonderful tool that adds to the dynamics of this relationship. Pampering is not for you to go out and get a massage. It's pampering days is for you guys to pamper one another. There again is the closeness. When I talk about in Chapter 13, shopping together. Well, you know, guys know that, here's $1,000, sweetheart, go out and shop it with your girlfriend. No. You have to go shopping with her. She's a master shopper. You'll learn some things. But is that you want to become her best friend. When I hear guys tell me that their best friend is their buddy and not their wife, I could tell you right there what the marriage is like. I mean, if somebody you're sleeping with having children with and God says you become one flesh, come on. He's not saying that with any other relationship. You become one flesh. You need to apply that. You need to apply that. Everybody's conditioned in these false relationships and these false, and guess what happens after a period of time? They fall apart. They fall apart because the foundation, the intimacy, the connection, the closeness, the oneness, the union, the sacredness of marriage has never been touched on. And then to talk about true love, people barely know what love is, long enough true love.
Well, I must tell you, women long to be their spouse's best friend.
Yes.
We long for that. That is a compliment that just touches our heart. We long to be that best friend, that confidant, the one that they feel comfortable about coming to and talking about anything and everything. The confidant that they're comfortable with coming to, showing their weaknesses, the times when they're frustrated, when there are times when they're hurt, even when they
yes.
shed tears. That is a very, is I tell you, is something that we long for. We don't want men, our spouses, and to think or believe that they have to be strong all the time. That really doesn't move us. What moves us
yes.
is when they're comfortable enough to be embraced by us and allow us to be their strength in a time and a moment where they're not feeling strong.
And Dr. Beverly, that is the key right there that opened the door for the intense love affair when God stamped the approval of true love on our marriage. Because because of my tears, because I was able to cry and share with her every aspect of missing my mom and when our baby died. And I mean, just we're holding him and sleeping with him. I mean, the bond, the closeness, you can't buy it. It was priceless. You can't buy this connection that I'm talking about. You have to experience it. And so that's what I put in the book. And not only do I have 40 chapters, that is the living foundation of the foundation that you're recreating in your new relationship in your marriage, but you may not think that 300 questions in 30 days to know your beloved is necessary. You may not think that tell you to ask, why do you love me? You may not think, well why is he asking me, why do I love you? What do you like about me? What do you dislike about me? Words you never use. I mean, chapters said words you never use in a marriage, in a relationship. You know, how to keep your marriage like the first date, fighting without fighting, the covenant, the marriage creed, chapter 20, the marriage creed. Who got a marriage creed? Do you know anybody with a marriage creed today? The unbreakable relationship, true love, praying together, meditating together, chapters that build up your relationship, not tear down. Even down to simple little chapters that's 40 pages long called pillow talk. What is pillow talk? What is baby talk? We think we know what it is, a love talk, pampering days, shut-in days. All these are applied to building your relationship up, to leading you to get true love. But true love is only comes through getting a stamp of approval from God Almighty. He's the only one dishing it out because he's love himself. So exercising together, all these, taking a bath together. 15 years, we took a bath in the morning and afternoon, my wife and I. And it wasn't about sex. It was a bonding. It was a closeness, you know. And I learned to make these baths with powdered milk and run nothing but hot water, sesame seed oil, olive oil. I took honey and rock salt and sea sponge and eucalyptus leaves and put in the tub, and it was just so wonderful. And we bathed it for hours. What is that doing? That's a bond. That's a closeness. You can't buy at the store, Neiman Marcus, Saks. They don't sell it. You can't get it. You can't even get it at the church. You got to get it.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, what Vincent is talking about is expert chapters from his very, very popular book that he goes around and he on many speaking engagements involving men's conferences, couples conferences, and so forth. His book is entitled The Perfect Marriage, and I want to make sure for those of you who want to find out more about that book and other books that he's written that you can contact him at I'm giving you email addresses at I as in Indigo, N as in Norman, S H A L L A I N C, the number one, at yahoo.com. That is INSHALLAINC, the number one, at yahoo.com. He has a website, and that website is The Vincent Experience, and that is THE, V as in Victor, INCEN, TEXPERIENCE .wix.com /home. The broadcast will continue on for another 15 minutes, but sometimes when you're on the line and on the air, it will cut you off on the hour. So if that does happen, you can certainly key back in on the website and catch the rest of it, the broadcast. And also, immediately, once the broadcast has finished, go to the archives where you can listen to it over and over again, whenever you like and how often that you would like. So, Vincent, I just wanted to make sure that those that are on the air, on the line, does have that information. Now,
yes,
I know.
Absolutely, thank you.
Well, of course, especially after describing the baths and so forth, we need everyone to get that information. Dear Lord. Now, I also happen to know by talking with you that in the book you talk about how you had romantic time cooking together, and you talked about that, and I know you are a master chef. Did you enjoy cooking special meals for your wife?
You know, Dr. Beverly, because, you know, I love cooking, and, you know, good food comes from the heart. You know that. And so, you know, it was another part of me being able to share the intimacy and the love that I had for Kimberly, and to be able to express my love. That was just another avenue. So, yes, believe it or not, Kimberly never cooked in 20 years. Never cooked one meal, not a sandwich, not anything. So she never knew what was in the kitchen. I built the kitchen especially for me. But we had our exchanges. So you know, she didn't, you know, ever cook a meal, but, you know, she looked for different ways to love me and to please me with the things that I wanted. So, and she loved to eat, and I cooked marvelous meals for her. So, yeah, it was a beautiful thing to be able to make all these wonderful dishes and create new ones for her.
Well, especially since that is your gift, Mr. Master Chef.
Yes.
But you know, it's very beautiful the way that you lived your marriage according to the word, and you loved each other according to your gift. And that's what I find that is impressive. You know, I always, you know, engage in conversations, or again, I'm speaking at a conference or workshop, or whether it's a church or seminar, how important it is to recognize your inner gift. And that's what you live by. That's what you use, because that's your passion. It will naturally be done well, and it will naturally be well received because it's a part of who you are. We run into problems when we try to be something other than who we are. It will always turn out to be a glitch, because it's something that will have to be rehearsed, and it will never be truly from the heart because it's not who we are. And so it's very, very important coming into a union. And I say this, and I'm mentioning this a lot, because there are many people, male and female, men and women, that are hoping to find that mate this year. Many are coming into the second half of their lives, and they want a marriage that's going to be fulfilling. It will be enlightening. It will be exciting conversation, new things, new beginnings, because we are all anew this second time around. So I'm hoping that our audience, Vincent, is understanding that it is definitely possible to have a true love and a pure love relationship. It is definitely possible how to have a marriage, a union, free of arguments and attitudes. But the only way to do that is to understand that the word does work when we live our lives by the word. If we as women first allow ourselves to accept that we are brides of Christ,
there you go,
then we will understand the purity of love.
Yes.
We will understand submissiveness is not a challenge. Excuse me, I'm getting choked on myself, Vincent. It's not a challenge because we're submissive to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And men will understand the joy of loving us as Jesus loved his church.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dr.
That
Beverly,
is the basic of what needs to be done. Do you not agree?
Absolutely, Dr. Beverly. Absolutely, 100%. Because, see, first of all, you know, in being in other countries and living in other countries, I see how marriages are embraced and how men view differently. It was a statement to me years ago living in the Middle East. And they said, you know, brother, he said, we love our Christian brothers in America. He said, but I noticed one thing, you know, our women in Islam, they walk 10 feet behind the man, and the women in America walk all over the man. you know, this is what their viewpoint is because they see a certain image. But what happens is that the man's mindset, he doesn't appreciate the gifts that are in front of him, and because he has not observed who they are. And women don't realize overall what a wonderful gift. What he says is the virtue of a woman can buy a king's ransom. He talks about the virtue. I mean, God, what a gift. Women are a gift to men. And men, if they don't see that the women are a gift, they're not going to appreciate this wonderful gift that's given to them, and therefore they abuse it. And so, but to answer your question, yes, true love is there, it's waiting, but you got to know it. You can only operate in what you know. And if men don't know anything about true love, I was talking to one guy, he said to me, man, I don't want to give all my love. I said, but this is your wife. He says, yeah, but I don't want to give all my love to her because I don't know if she's ever going to hurt me. Men are walking around scared of being hurt. One guy told me, he says, I don't want to cook for my wife because I don't want to change her mind of cooking for me. So what everybody's doing in these relationships is giving less than their best. They're not giving 100%. They're not giving their best. Listen, Dr. Beverly, I went to the cancer hospital every week to treat my wife and, you know, to have her treated. For 2 years we fought, and I never, ever seen a man there. I seen hundreds of women, but I never seen a man there with the women other than me with my wife. Because I know they had boyfriends. I know they had husbands, but the men lead. 85% of the men lead their wives. I made love to my wife a week after her breasts were removed. I never took my eyes off of her. And so, you know, I mean, what's wrong with our men? 85% of men leave their wives when they get breast cancer. I mean, come on. They don't go out no more. They don't take them out because they lost their hair. I treasured that woman. Do you understand me? I treasured Kimberly. You know, I took her to see Al Jarreau concert. She didn't have no hair. I said, let's put a scarf. I put a scarf there. It made it draped, and, man, she looked just fantastic. And the breast never affected me one bit. We said goodbye. We had a party for the breast with blowing balloons and everything. And I thanked the breast for 18 years. And and then we had the breast removed, and I never stopped loving her. Matter of fact, I told Pastor Cooper, I have to tell you this one, a dear friend of mine, and he said, why do you love Kimberly so much? He said, you know, she doesn't do this, she doesn't do that, she doesn't have to work, da-da-da. I said, she gives me the same thing God wants from you and I. So he's been preaching 55 years. I thought he had known what it was. He said, what is that? I said, she gives me honor, and she trusts me. God wants us to trust him and honor him. And she trusted me. I was the priest and king of the household. We worshiped. We prayed together. Not when some people go, I mean, you'd be surprised how many pastors have wives who don't pray together. They do their devotions in separate rooms. I mean, it's amazing. But, you know, we were just so bound tight and closed as one. And according to the Word of God, it's real. The Word of God works. It works. And it didn't just work for us. It works for others, too.
You have shared personal and intimate stories of your life, of your marriage, and of your life today. And we are so grateful, Vincent, because this is a time of transition, a time of transformation. It is a time of change. For all of us, there is not one single individual, I'm believing, globally, that does not want a fresh start, a new beginning in their lives, whether it's with being married or a renewal, a refreshment, a restoration of an existing marriage. It is remarkable how you and Kimberly literally just followed the Word of God and had a marriage that was not just sustaining. It really was a love story and a love affair from the beginning and even now to date, with your beautiful memories and how you have taken her life and written about it to share with others, to encourage other men and women, those that are looking at marriage and those that are married, how to engage in a love affair. I am never one to believe that marriage should be the end. It truly should always be a new beginning and a new life. It is the covenant. It is the first covenant that the Lord gave us, the covenant of marriage. And I'm believing that this broadcast and your intimacies that you have shared with us and just being so transparent has been the seeds that have been planted in the hearts of all the listeners as they listen to the broadcast now and through the archives and over again will be inspired, definitely empowered. And because of the fact that you are so transparent, they will propel forward into breakthroughs of new beginnings, new expectations. And I am so grateful for you for sharing that and being on.
Thank you, Dr. Beverly, so much. And again, the book title is The Perfect Marriage, Eat, Drink, and Be Married. Got 200 recipes of my cooking and everything and recipes of love and romance. It's a full dictionary of true love and the perfect marriage. So I'd love for them to get it. And again, I wanted to share my email because I think one letter was missing, Dr. Beverly. It's Inshallah, INSHALLAHINC, the number 1, at yahoo.com. And inshallah means the will of God. So
that's
anytime,
beautiful. But can you repeat that? Can you repeat that then once again, please?
Yes, it's inshallahinc1 at yahoo, and it's spelled INSHALLAHINC. The number 1 at yahoo.com. And you can call anytime at my number here. It's 928-863-9992 and place your order either on email or by phone call and we'll get your book out. It's a fantastic book that will add to your marriage and guarantee in 30 days you will see changes. Just apply yourself to the teaching and, you know, God's going to bless. And so I'm just really thankful to Dr. Beverly and the show and all those that called in to listen in. It's great.
Okay, well, you know, we always cover the broadcast in prayer. And everyone that was online, I want to thank you, Mercer, for your question. And Father, in the name of Jesus, as always, we are grateful sons and daughters. Lord, you know us as your sons and daughters. We know us as sisters and brothers, family. Father, we just praise and thank you for the ability of coming before you once again, bringing kingdom truth. I thank you for my guest, Lord God, Vincent Lackey. I thank you for his experiences. I thank you for his transparency. I thank you how he has inspired and encouraged others that are listening to the broadcast, Father, how the word does work and how he shared true love, pure love. From you, Father God, in his marriage and even in his heart today. I ask that you bless each and every one that's listening to the broadcast, Lord, as we are all in transition, as we are all in transformation. Every single day we strive to be better than the day before, to please you. And pleasing you, Lord God, we know that the best will always be there for us. I thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. Vincent,
amen.
You are such a joy. You're such a treasure. And I thank each and every one that has come on the broadcast to listen to these wonderful words of wisdom. Remember that we are on weekly every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and re-aired every Friday at 7 p.m., but always the archives are available to listen to at any time. Now, if you would like to contact Dr. Beverly, if you're interested in sharing your story on the broadcast, or if there's something particular that is on your heart that you would love for me to explore, email me. Email me at beverlylswanson@gmail.com. That's D-R-B-E-V-E-R-L-Y-L swanson@gmail.com. Or you can give me a call at 916-706-5958. And also, if you're looking for speaking engagements for me to participate in, or, of course, information on a Christian counselor or life consultant, contact me. I'll be happy to talk about it with you. Hey, and don't forget to visit the website. You can visit my website at www.drbeverlylswanson.com. Take a look at the trailer of my book that I published, God's Desert Flower, and there's other things on the site that I do believe that will truly bring you joy. Again, thank you for being on the show this evening. I look forward to you coming again next week. And in the meantime, know that I truly love you more. We'll see you next week.